Winter officially begins on December 21st, but temperatures are already dropping, and homeless shelters are bracing for record numbers. I'm out in the cold, body and soul. There's nowhere to go. I'm out in the cold. More and more, the homeless are the working poor, whose homes were washed away in the flood of foreclosures. The new homeless are your friends and neighbors seeking shelter.
I'm out.
On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, October 20th. I'm Celeste Headlee here in brisk temperatures in the studio with John Hockenberry.
It is cold in here. Good morning, Celeste. Coming up, avoiding work may turn out to be an aid to productivity. I'm glad of that. We assess the power of Obama to save some troubled Democrats and his possibly waning power to woo contributions from Wall Street, and they're undefeated in Denver football-wise. Where else? We'll find out.
But first, Vanessa LaBarca is with us. She's a single mother in Boston who ended up in a homeless shelter with her daughter after she was laid off. So, Vanessa, after you lost your job, how long was it before you also lost your home?
It was only a few months.
But
I didn't have any savings, and like many Americans, I was living paycheck to paycheck. And so when I lost my job, I couldn't pay my rent anymore.
And you've been in the homeless shelter now for how long?
Since May of 2008.
Okay, Vanessa LaBarca, stay with us. We're going to talk more with you in just a moment. But first, everything else we need to know this morning.
Recession-induced homelessness. That's an interesting, very, very disturbing story. In the headlines, we're waiting to hear from Afghan President Hamid Karzai. He's due to make a statement on the country's political situation in the wake of the August elections. The statement may end up endorsing a runoff election or possibly a negotiated power-sharing deal of some kind. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the U.S. should not wait for a solution to the political crisis in Afghanistan before making a decision to deploy more troops. His comments are in contrast to those from White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel over the weekend, who said a troop decision should be made after there is a credible government in Kabul. Meanwhile, in neighboring Pakistan, we're getting reports this morning of an explosion at a university in Islamabad. At least two people are dead.
In healthcare, our partner, the New York Times, reports the basic Medicare premium will increase 15% next year to a little over $110 a month. The paper calls this, quote, a stark indication of the rise in medical costs that's driving the healthcare debate. The president has a busy day today. He's due to meet the Iraqi prime minister in Washington, and then he'll head off to New York to attend several fundraisers. And we're looking out for some economic indicators this morning. We'll get figures on housing starts and wholesale inflation a little bit later. Also in health news, some hospitals around the country are turning away some visitors in the hopes of limiting the spread of H1N1 or swine flu at their facilities.
Did you watch some baseball last night? It was an extra inning nail-biter.
It was indeed.
The Phillies rallied with two runs in the bottom of the ninth, giving them a 5-4 victory against the Dodgers in regular nine-inning game. That was a National League Championship Series. In Game 3 of the AL Championship Series game, the Los Angeles Angels, your Angels, defeated the Yankees with a comeback 5-4 win in the 11th.
And Wall Street was up about 1% yesterday. The Dow's going to kick off at 10,090. The S&P will start at 1098 and the NASDAQ begins at 2176.
When does winter begin?
For me, it's the first snow. Yeah. That's when winter starts for me. And it's going to be a hard winter for a lot of people in America.
Tough.
We're wondering, when does winter begin for you and what are you planning in order to cope with it? 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
I'm trying to think about that. That's a head scratcher.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Well, I'm thinking about Vanessa's story there. Lose the job, you lose the rent, you lose the home.
It's an odd thing, John, because here we have the Dow Jones again over 10,000, and
right.
Yet we also have reports that we could be facing record numbers of homeless this winter because of the foreclosure crisis. People like Vanessa who would never before this economic recession have been homeless.
We don't report the homeless number daily like we do the Dow, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. So we're talking about this today, about the new homeless who often lost their homes in the foreclosure crisis and are now ending up in need of shelter. And we'll return to Vanessa LaBarca. She is in Boston. Vanessa lost her job, couldn't find work, and you're now in a private shelter in Boston, correct?
That's right.
With your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity to move elsewhere and possibly find shelter, but your daughter would have been far away from her school.
That's right.
So what do you need? What would you need to get out of shelter? Is it a job? Is that basically the main thing that you need? Or is there other things that they could be doing to help you get out of the homeless shelter?
They do a lot of things here to help us. That's their primary goal. They help us, direct us in ways that we can find housing, such as filling out applications for state and federally aided housing projects through the housing authorities in different towns across the states, which I've done. And the lists are very long. It's really discouraging to get a letter back saying that it could be 5 to 7 years before a unit becomes available.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Vanessa, are you ready for winter?
Yeah.
You are.
Good for her.
I like the winter. I love it.
Libby Hayes is the executive director of Homes for Families, and she joins us from Boston as well. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
How many people do we have, like Vanessa, who have become newly homeless after losing their possibly their jobs first, but they've lost their homes because of the foreclosure crisis?
Well, our state shelter system has been full for the past couple of years now. Right now, we have over 1,030 families in motels across the state, which is on top of our 2,000 shelter units. And compared to last year, we had about 600 families in motels. In 2007, we had about 35. So we've gone up significantly in the past couple of years.
The state of Massachusetts requires that you find you can't turn people away from homeless shelters. That's why they're ending up in motels.
Yes, as long as a family is deemed eligible and meets strict eligibility requirements, then the state has the responsibility to shelter the families.
Strict eligibility requirements. Does that mean if you're making any money, you're not going to get shelter?
It's about 115% right now of the federal poverty level.
Okay.
So pretty much any family that's working more than part-time.
So let's also bring in James Forestieri, a 31-year-old New Yorker who's living at the Bowery Mission. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
And Steve Berg is with the National Alliance to End Homelessness. He's the vice president for programs and policy. He joins us from Washington, D.C. James, you ended up in a homeless shelter after you left your job diamond trading.
Correct.
And since then, you haven't been able to get a job.
Correct.
Explain to me, it must be, I mean, as hard as it is for somebody who is, who has a home to find a job, mm-hmm. it must be doubly harder or more to find a job when you're homeless.
Absolutely. I believe that in my experience, it's been hard for the simple fact is when you lose everything and become homeless, hopelessness follows. So what happens for me is that I start to feel like there is no hope. And then why bother? When you end up having everything and losing everything, and so-called hit bottom, as they say,
when you
it's
say,
hard to pick yourself back up.
When you say you had everything, what do you mean by that?
I had a great job, had money in the bank, had a fancy title and secretary, and had all the things that society said I should have. And when I lost everything, it was a sense of desperation. I ended up in a place not knowing how I got there.
Are you ready for winter?
A little bit.
A little bit. Steve Berg, you've been hearing these stories from Vanessa and James. Is this a national picture of what's happening with a lot of families and people across the country?
Yeah, this is absolutely a national picture. I mean, we had gotten to the point in like early 2007 before the recession started where we probably had the fewest homeless people we'd have in 20 years, but there were still 250,000 people homeless then. And since then, unemployment has gone from about 4.5% to about 9.5%. There are thousands and thousands of people who have lost their jobs, and many, many of those people have had the same experience. They lose their jobs, they can't pay for housing, their families can't support them, and they end up on the streets or in shelters.
Vanessa, how does it complicate your job search that you don't have a permanent address?
Actually, the shelter where I live, I am allowed to use this address, and I decided not to continue to look for a job because through the shelter I learned that I'm eligible for a scholarship, and so I decided to go back to school full time.
Libby, I've got a question for you. You're executive director of Homes for Families up there in Boston. And because you're not allowed by statute to turn people away in Massachusetts, people end up in motels. It sounds like a double whammy in the sense that the economy, it means there's a lot of vacancies in hotels. Is it easy to find placements for people? And explain how it's not really a picnic to be in a motel if you're homeless.
Right. Well, it's interesting because the hotels are getting harder and harder to find with so many families and also being foliage season. In Massachusetts, there's lots of demand on some of the motels here.
Interesting.
But it's not a picnic. There's no cooking facilities in the majority of the motels. We're not putting up families at the Ritz. There's no cooking facilities, there's limited services, limited access to phones, transportation. So a lot of the families are pretty much stuck in a motel on the side of the highway. Transportation's arranged for the kids to get to school, but it's really hard to do job search, to do housing search, and some of the scariest things is just being able to give your children the proper nutrition without the lack of refrigeration, microwaves, cooking facilities.
And that is not a permanent address that somebody would put on a job application.
Right,
Libby?
Right.
Steve, is what's happening with people when they go into foreclosure? I mean, people talk a lot about the homeless lag. And I assume what they mean is that it takes a while. Somebody doesn't lose their job and immediately end up at a shelter, right?
Well, right. First let me say, there are people who are having their homes foreclosed that own their homes and then end up in shelter as soon as they're foreclosed. For the most part, the people who are becoming homeless are people who were renting, relatively modest places because it's people whose incomes weren't that high to start with. People who lose their jobs, many have family resources to fall back on. They may have savings, they may have credit. So yeah, it does take a while, but some people, it takes not very long at all. Other people, it takes months or even years of joblessness before they end up homeless. But it's a destination a lot of people end up with.
If it's hard enough to take care of the homeless, 2/3 of a million, I think you said, before the economic recession. So
right.
Now that the states have even fewer resources than before, how are they supposed to handle these large numbers of people who are newly homeless?
Well, it's been very grim. I mean, I should say that the Obama administration and Congress have come up with $1.5 billion in a new program that's really about helping people pay security deposits, pay a few months' rent, try and either prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place or else get them back into housing, get them help finding a job. That money is just, the state and local governments have gotten the money. They're working really hard to get it out, and it's just now hitting the streets.
Just now.
So hopefully there's some help on the way in some places. But I'm not sure it's going to be enough.
In time, potentially, for winter. James Forestieri, a homeless New Yorker, you live at the Bowery Mission. Do you put that address on your job search application?
Yeah, we can use that as a job search.
And how do you feel about doing that?
It's humbling.
It's humbling?
Very humbling. I think nobody would know that address unless they've been down to the Bowery, as we were talking about, know that area.
James, as a diamond trader, do you know anything about the dealing with the government to get the programs and the income and the assistance that you're going to need to get through this winter?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not. All I know is that I'm at the Bowery Mission. It's not like any typical shelter. What they do is they help with assistance in getting housing, education. I also made a decision. I was just accepted to Nyack College to go back to school and make the best opportunity out of the position I'm in. So what they do at the Bowery Mission is a wide variety of things. They help with education, they plug us into getting trades if you don't have trades. So I don't really know what the national programs are available. I know that what the Bowery offers us is definitely some hope, as I came in hopeless, as I was talking about earlier, and allows us to get the most benefits out of ourselves and encourages us to do so.
Good luck, James.
James Forestieri is a 31-year-old homeless New Yorker. He lives at the Bowery Mission right now. We also spoke with Vanessa LaBarca from Boston, who's at a private shelter there with her daughter. Libby Hayes is the executive director of Homes for Families in Massachusetts. And Steve Berg is with the National Alliance to End Homelessness. He joined us from Washington, D.C. It sounds like the takeaway there, John, is that this is going to be a hard winter.
Facing winter. Are you prepared for winter? How are you? And tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or My Take at thetakeaway.org.
Keep the conversation going with your thoughts. Send them to us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.